Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. We always love when we welcome bookstores from our family of independents who dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and enjoy. This week, book picks courtesy of the folks from the Chatham Bookstore. They join us to present a fine list of books for these waning summer weeks. We welcome Thomas Schulach and Joanne Trapanese to the Roundtable this morning. Hello to both of you. How are you?
Hello,
Hello
Joe.
Hello to you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the program. Yeah. Where would you like to begin? Who is starting?
I'm going to begin this morning with a book called Plateau. As it turns out, I was reading it, and I realized that it's actually coming out next week. But so hang on if you really like this one.
You can pre-order nowadays. Right. Kind of bookseller near you.
All right, I gotcha. So it's Plateau by Maggie Paxson, who's an anthropologist. And she basically has studied mostly Russian villages, the strife and the response to violence in Russian villages. And she decided, I don't want to keep studying violence. I want to study peace. I want to study where it is that there are communities that are responding in different kinds of ways. And so she begins to study a small little village in southwest of Lyon in France called Vivarais-Lignon, where for centuries they have been accepting refugees into this small little village. She basically begins to study a distant relative named Daniel Trocmé, who in 1942, at the invitation of his uncle, who was the minister of the local Protestant church, came to work with children during World War II, refugee children. Daniel was looking for meaning, and he said, I want to be part of the reconstruction of the world. He was an idealist. He went there, and he took care of the kids. The story here is about Daniel and the children, and then the youth. And then the Nazis coming to get him, taking him to a concentration camp where he ended up dying. But this book is also about the refugees that are there today. And so she began to study what refugees is this little community taking in. And sure enough, there's a whole bunch that they're taking in, some of them asylum seekers, some of them not. She has many reflections about anthropology in the book that are just fascinating. And Daniel wrote before he died that we are not races, countries, or religion. We are humanity. We are all human. Maggie Paxson also began to understand how children are the bridge between the locals and the asylum seekers. They're the bridge builders. So this book is a fascinating book, and I just wanted to leave you with a couple quotes from Maggie. She says, I know depravity is not the essence of who we are. I'm just so sad and tired and angry these days that so much of social science is oriented around ugliness and selfishness. There's so many more corners of human action that can teach us about other ways of living, other realms. But at the heart of it, I want to leave with this. When she came into the village above the Protestant church, she saw these words. And she said she felt this was really the heart of why this particular village responded to refugees in the way it was. And above the Protestant church, it just wrote, love one another.
Hmm. Mm.
That was it. And that was part of the whole culture of the community.
Well, we'll take those words, certainly. The Plateau by Maggie Paxson.
Next one is Each Tiny Spark, a novel for young readers by Pablo Cartaya. Who is known, Cartaya is an award-winning author known for the epic failure of Artura Zamora. In this novel, Cartaya tells the story of Amelia Rosa, who's a sixth grade student in a middle school in Georgia. She's of Cuban descent. She lives with her abuela, her grandmother, and her parents when they're around. Her father's been away on a military deployment for 2 years. So Amelia is excited, but she's also scared. Because he's kind of a stranger. 2 years is a long time when you're 11.
Sure.
And to make matters worse, her mother's going to be away on business for a couple of weeks, so she won't be around to smooth the transition. Amelia is a creative girl with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and so as she narrates the story, she describes details of how her brain is experiencing the different events through the lens of ADHD. Amelia Rosa also discovers racism in America as a byproduct of a school project. And Kartaya gives us the theme of military deployment, because every time Emilia Rosa's father returns from a deployment, he's a bit more damaged than the one before, and it takes him more time to snap back to civilian life. So we really get the sense of the effect on service members, but also the toll it takes on their families.
Wow. A lot going on there.
Yeah. Each Tiny Spark.
Each Tiny Spark by, and help me, Kartaya?
Yes.
Pablo Kartaya is the author.
Yes.
Next.
Next one up. We are excited to recommend Goblin Moon by nationally acclaimed author-illustrator and popular local artist Jacqueline Rogers.
Yes.
This is a picture book. Rogers has illustrated over 150 books, including bestsellers like the popular Ramona Quimby series by Beverly Cleary and Our Great Big Backyard by Laura Bush and Jenna Bush Hager. Rogers in Goblin Moon, she tells the story in rhyming verse to keep things lively and charming. The illustrations are always playful and extremely endearing. Takes place on Halloween night under the Goblin Moon, which of course we all know is when the goblins come out. So we have adorable, lovable children. We have adorable, lovable goblins that are everywhere in the book. They're in the drawers. They're under the doors. They're everywhere you look. But every goblin has a sweet smile, and they're the kind of goblins you just want to take home. It's a great gift for the child in your life. A woman came into the bookstore last week and bought three of these to give as gifts.
Very nice.
Rogers will be signing copies of Goblin Moon at the Chatham Bookstore as part of the Chatham October Feast on Saturday, October 5th. And we'll post details on our website and Facebook page as they become available.
Goblin Moon by Jacqueline Rogers.
So I'd like to celebrate a new book, a new novel by Rajia Hasib. It's called A Pure Heart. It comes out today. Her first novel was entitled In the Language of Miracles. This is a story about two sisters, Rose and Gamilia, from Cairo, Egypt. Rose becomes an Egyptologist. She marries a U.S. journalist, Mark, and they move to the U.S. Gamilia, who is a Muslim, early on becomes quite fundamentalist, starts wearing a hijab, is involved in a minor way in the revolution in 2011, and she ends up dying in a suicide bomb as a result of those connections later on. Both of her parents are upper middle class in Cairo. So you have the parents, you have the two sisters, and you have this U.S. Egyptian relationship. It's a story really about women in Egypt to a great extent. What is it like to be a woman there? It's also a story about the poor and the rich and how they live. But deep down inside, it's also about the radicalization of a young man named Sabir. Sabir is interviewed by the author, by Rose's husband, Mark, and it's put in the paper, and as a result of the article, he's arrested by the Egyptian government. He's put into prison where he becomes radicalized, and eventually he ends up being the suicide bomber. And I love the section that she has on the whole notion of jihad. Jihad is to do good in the world. That's what jihad means. But for Sabir, he defined this as good and evil. And immediately when he began to get dualistic, he began to say, this is good, this is evil. And within that framework, he decided to be a suicide bomber in order to do what he thought was the good. Mm. We actually saw this kind of mentality in El Paso this last weekend. Right. And so I thought, wow, here's something which helps us to understand how that radicalization happens inside of human beings.
Yeah.
The name of the book is A Pure Heart by Rajia Hasib.
Hasib. Yeah.
Excellent. And it's A Pure Heart is the name of the book. All right, next.
And then the last one that I want to do is by Alexandra Fuller. Some of you may know her book, Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight.
Right.
She's quite a writer. This is called Travel Light, Move Fast. It's vivid. It's outrageous, it's playful, it's reverent, it's irreverent. I think that's just who she is and how she writes. But this is a story of her father, Tim Fuller, who dies in Budapest on vacation. So this is nonfiction. He's an outcast British guy who fought in the Rhodesian Bush War, and ends up farming in Zambia. He loves chaos, but he's hopeful. He loves getting lost, and then trying to find out where he is. He says the following: in times of excessive difficulty, cope excessively.
Mm-hmm.
He loves cigarettes, but he says wherever there's cigarettes, there's suffering. Mm-hmm. So when I go to wherever other people are smoking, we can suffer together, and we can begin to connect with one another. He says, my father, the author says, my father had gone to Africa, and he'd lost nearly everything because he was part of the British elite. He'd lost nearly everything, but it hadn't been easy. So he's losing things, but it's not easy. He pushes the edges. He says, if you're going to the dogs, go the whole way. If you stay in the middle of your suffering, you'll never find the edge of it. It's an amazing book. I'm not going to tell you what the ending is because it's a very sad ending, but it's a very powerful ending. Alexandra Fuller says, I write my way out of pain. This is also the story of her mom and their relationship. And at the end, she says, every end is a beginning, which is kind of what T.S. Eliot says. Every end is a beginning.
I love her so much. Her books are amazing, and she's a really good radio guest. Just for whatever it's worth. She's terrific.
So you can have a chance to talk with her, hopefully.
I can't wait. Right. Travel Light, Move Fast by Alexandra Fuller. All right, finally.
Last book is Warhead, a memoir for young readers by Jeff Hennigsen. The year is 1986. The United States, the United States is at a Cold War with the Soviet Union. Mikhail Gorbachev is the leader of the Soviet Union, and Jeff Hennigsen is a 15-year-old in South Pasadena, California.
All
he
right.
lives an average life, middle-class, white family. He has some father issues. His father is incapable of showing him affection or approval. But basically, Jeff's life is pretty average until the day that he's diagnosed with brain cancer. He has to have brain surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, his hair falls out, the whole ticket. And he becomes aware of the Starlight Foundation that grants wishes to minors with terminal illnesses, like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Now, Jeff doesn't want to go to Disneyland. He doesn't want to meet a famous ball player. He asks himself, what wish would finally impress my father? So Jeff decides his wish is to travel across the world to the Soviet Union, talk to the leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, about nuclear disarmament. Excuse me.
Like you do, yes.
Yes, like everybody does, sure, at 15. Mm-hmm. So this is a very interesting true story about an interesting young man who touched many lives in a meaningful way.
The name of the book is Warhead by Jeff Hennigsen, and is out. That was quite a list. Good stuff. For more information on the Chatham Bookstore, all you have to do is go to their website. It is chathambookstore.com. Am I right on that?
Yes.
And you can visit them, even better, 27 Main Street in Chatham. Thomas and Joanne, thank you very much. It's always a great pleasure to have you in the program.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.